Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, my next guest is a futurist by the name of Dr. David Oxley. He's working to help people escape the 9-to-5 and to find their dream job in the new year. His book, A Groundhog Career, A Tale of Career Traps and How to Escape Them, is co-authored by Dr. Helmut Schuster. The book talks about how to find a job that aligns with your purpose and not somebody else's. He's a management consultant and he's worked internationally with BP. Good morning to you, David. How are you?
Good morning, Bobby. Great to speak to you.
Now, let's talk about these career traps. Maybe just let's delve a little bit deeper into that. What are they and how do they happen?
Well, we were inspired to write this book by essentially two challenges. The big one was the mass resignations during the pandemic and the prospect that many people were dissatisfied with their work and they were trying to find something else, something elusive about it. So we delved into that and tried to find the answer to the question, what is it that people were searching for that they thought they were missing? And the second thing we were trying to do was to write something that wasn't too businessy, that wasn't too dense, that was engaging and entertaining. And so that's how we based it on a groundhog career, the sort of prospect of the Groundhog Day, if you will, with a story about someone reliving the same day, the same job every day, the way I think a lot of people felt during the pandemic.
And where are we at now, David, on the, I suppose, the working from home versus coming to the office? Like, you're hearing mixed reports about it. We're seeing some big players demanding that people come to the office. But isn't that genie out of the bottle? My own sense of it is that, you know, as time goes on, will we end up with, you know, the difference between employees being, if I work in the office, I can get promoted and I'll be paid more, versus you can work remotely, but you'll be paid less. Is that where it's heading?
I think you put your finger right on it there, Bobby. The genie is out of the bottle. It's hard to put it back in. And I think there will be a duality going forward. It's harder for employers to force people back into the office, but there becomes this choice that if you're pursuing something, trying to achieve something professionally, then there will be an overriding influence on the individual to make choices about whether they want to prioritize some personal lifestyle aspects of that are enabled by working from home and take the consequences of that, which may be missing out on a promotion or missing out on opportunities, versus those that choose to put the career or aspects of the business first. But I think we don't exactly know how it's going to play out. I don't think that the companies that are strong-arming people back into the office have got it right at all. I think it needs to be more of an incentive.
And that means that it might cost them more, that they have to put on things to attract people into the office, that they, you know what I mean, that they have to deploy capital resources in a different way to make it attractive to go to the office.
I agree. I mean, the facts are there are some jobs that can be done perfectly well from home. And I think it's difficult for companies to strong arm those people back in. But from a purely personal perspective, and our focus in writing our books is very much about helping individuals maximize their careers to try and get the most out of it. So when we're coaching people, we're talking to them about, well, what is it you want to achieve? And it may be that what you want to achieve is better done by returning to the office in some capacity. The facts are the closer you are to what's going on at the business, the more opportunities you can see and the more opportunistic you can be at grabbing those.
Just looking at a Gallup survey there about, you know, the findings are quite disturbing. In one level, they say that around 60% of us find little meaning in our jobs and 20% say it's the main reason that they feel miserable. That's one in five people desperately unhappy at work.
It's fascinating, isn't it? And this hasn't really changed. The interesting thing is that, well, not only is it quite shocking that 20% find work a source of absolute misery. How terrible is that? CIPD last year actually found that 90% of us aren't terribly engaged at work. This prospect of what they, I think, dubbed bore out or quiet quitting, all of these concepts. And so that's very much at the heart of A Groundhog Career, trying to explore in our book, well, what causes that? What causes this dissatisfaction? And of course, it's ultimately that people aren't finding meaning, that they don't see how work enables something bigger, bigger in their lives or bigger more generally in their communities.
What are your thoughts, David, on AI in the workplace and in business now? It's infiltration, and maybe that's the wrong word, but it's very prevalent and will become more so in many parts of our work.
Yeah, absolutely. So there are two ways to relate to artificial intelligence and how it's marching across, impacting knowledge worker jobs, the way that automation previously was working in manufacturing and other professions. So the question becomes, are we fearful of it? Are we going to sort of duck and wait for the sword of Damocles to fall and hope that somehow we're spared? Or do we get after it? Do we embrace it? Do we be a first adopter and try and learn more about it and be a pioneer with it? The artificial intelligence, I think, is at the moment more a tool than it is a threat. So for those people who make 2025, a great New Year's resolution for 2025 is find out how you can use and deploy artificial intelligence in your job, in your profession. Be the master of it rather than end up becoming a victim of it.
No, I think that's great advice. I also think that, you know, re-education is something that maybe come more to the fore, that, you know, if you're threatened by AI or the job or the business or the sector you're in looks like it could be replaced, you should be proactively seeking something else out where you'll gain happiness and hopefully gainful employment.
Fantastic point. The old notions that you could go to school and become an accountant and that would be good for the rest of your 30, 40 year career are fast eroding. It's less nowadays about having one specific profession that you're going to somehow live out the rest of your careers on, as opposed to trying to figure out how you can apply your skills to these broader trends. So how we can engage artificial intelligence is the one that we just talked about. But one of the things that we try and impress when we're talking with people just joining the workforce or people trying to reinvent themselves in their 30s and 40s is we have to think less about careers as accountants and lawyers and journalists and much more about how technology is evolving to link these different professions together.
Finally, can I ask you, David, does age, I take it, matters here? Like if I'm a 22-year-old fresh out of university, burning with ambition, or maybe I'm somebody who's done a lot over the years, I'm 63 and I'm thinking of winding down, my perspective is going to be very different, isn't it?
It is going to be different. And you can either look at it and say it's harder at the age of 63 to learn new tricks, you know, the old adage about old dogs, and easier if you're 23 because you're trying to make a mark and perhaps you're more energetic and enthusiastic. But I think your outlook could also be switched the other way, which is that if you're 63, maybe you've already done a great deal. You don't have to prove as much to yourself. So learning something new can be just purely a fun thing, something interesting. I mean, speaking personally, I relate to learning about artificial intelligence not as a threat, just as something that's interesting. It's new. I can read it. I'm not threatened by it. And in the process of learning about the various different models that are getting adopted, I find myself intrigued by it.
It's, yeah.
So I think trying to help people frame these challenges in a constructive way is part of the trick. And it's you're absolutely right. The framing of that would be very different for someone at 63 versus 23.
So 63 is the new 23. That's what we'll leave you on that note.
In your case, Bobby, absolutely.
Dr. David Oxley, author of Groundhog Career, thanks for joining me today and Happy New Year to you, David.
Okay, thanks very much.
Cheers.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.